Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Welcome, everyone. This week is the Haftarah for Parshas Kuchas. It's page 1187. And the reason why this is connected to the Parsha is that the past history sometimes explains why things happen later. And it's very often true, like in the Middle East where you have different wars, it's because there were old issues that were never solved. And so there's in the Middle East right now, it has to do with a lot of the different groups, the Shias and the Sunnis and the, there was in the Parsha, there's a discussion of what happened when Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael came towards the territory of Edom and we waged war. And, later on, there's another battle that takes place over this same territory. And, so therefore that's a connection between the Parsha of Kuchas, which mostly has to do with the Paraduma, which is and also the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu hitting the rock. The Haftarah doesn't have anything to do with that, but the Haftarah has to do with the, war that takes place with the foreign kings, on the way towards Eretz Israel. And so, that comes up later. It's actually 300 years later in the war that happens during the time of the judges. In the Haftarah, we meet a very interesting person. His name was Yiftach. And, what we need to understand is this, is that every generation gets a leader according to that generation. In a generation where everybody is worthy, so then the leader would be very worthy. In a generation where the people are not so worthy, then they get a type of leader who maybe isn't so worthy. But for that generation, he is the right person. He is the one who wins. He is the one who does it. All right, we're going to take a look at him. He's an interesting person, this Yiftach. And again, like all books in Tanakh, there are different ways to look at him and what he did. So let's see. V'Yiftach ha-Gilad. And Yiftach, who was from Gilad, Hayu Gibor Chayo. He was a strong person. One of the most important things in a general or a leader that will have to lead the Jewish people in a time of war is that they be a strong person, that they be capable of going into battle. I was hearing one of the Republican, I think it was Donald Trump, was saying that what he would do is he would, if he were president, he would find someone in the military like Patton or MacArthur and send them down there to take care of ISIS, and they would go take care of the problem, and then there'd be nothing to worry about. And so, and correct, that's right. The idea that he had was, well, we don't want another war, and we don't want Americans to be killed, and it's a complicated subject. But the idea is that if you get a strong, mighty warrior that's going to lead the battle, then the problem will be solved. And the problem, I don't like to go into the politics of it, but Yiftach was a strong, mighty warrior. And that's the one thing we get from him. He was very decisive in battle. And therefore, he was the person who was needed. When you go to war, you don't need somebody who is not sure if they want to go to war, has to think twice. You need somebody who's a strong person. And so that's our introduction to Yiftach, is he was a strong person. Vahu ben Ishazona. And we get an interesting story here that his mother was of ill repute. Sometimes people that, because he probably got made fun of when he was younger, he had to be a strong person. Not everybody says that it means the mother was of ill repute. In fact, the English translation here just says the son of a concubine, which sometimes people married more than one wife in those times, or when a person gets married, they have to support their wife and their families. That's what being married means. I don't know why all husbands don't know that, but they have to support the wife and the family. But in ancient times, if a person couldn't take on the obligations to get married, but even today, this has become some of the dilemma that a young person starting out, says he needs another 6-7 years of school so they can support a wife, you know, if they want to be a doctor or they want to get a PhD. And so on the other hand, they're ready to be married. They just don't have the, so the wife can say, I'm willing to marry him now, even though I realize he won't be able to support me until after he finishes his residency and he finishes college and he pays off his loans, then he'll be a good breadwinner, right? So she's saying she's willing to forgo that because she wants to, they feels that they're for each other and they can make that decision. So in ancient times, somebody that was willing to get married without an obligation on the man's part to provide for the woman, normally the husband takes that obligation that if something happens to him or if he gets divorced, if he divorces her, that he's going to pay, he has the funds to pay to support her. So what he would do is he would take a wife and it would be a concubine. It's somewhat misunderstood. It basically was like a marriage where he wasn't able to support her fully at that point. But it wasn't looked at as the nicest thing, because usually a husband does have to support the wife and commit to support the wife. But, that is one opinion, that she was just a concubine. The other opinion would be that, his mother wasn't so moral. But, in fact, that's why it stresses that he was from Gilad, to let us know that even though the mother at one point in her life maybe wasn't so moral, but, for sure, he was from Gilad. That was the father. V'yolad Gilad es Yiftach. And Gilad, there was no question as to who the father was. We're going to see that the other brothers, from a different mother, chased him away because they felt that his mother wasn't as righteous as their mother. And so let's see, verse 2, V'teled ishes Gilad lo banim, and Gilad had other wives, and he had other children from these wives, like Gilu b'nei Isha, and they grew up. And what did they do? V'goshu esh Yiftach. They kicked this guy Yiftach out of the house. Now that's totally incorrect. He didn't do anything wrong. But in history, there are a lot of, especially when there's multiple families, sometimes they can be cruel. And they banished him from the father's house. They said, even today, in certain societies, the worst thing you can do is criticize somebody's mother. You know, your mama, your mother, that's like, you know, you want to start somebody off, they're going to lose it. If they, you know, you can say whatever you want about me, but if you say something about my mother, then, you know, that's, they felt that he was not as pure lineage as they were, and they chased him away. And we're going to see that's not an easy thing to deal with, to be chased out of his father's house. The Torah actually says that you can't favor the child of the favored one over the child of the hated one. For whatever reason, his mother wasn't his ayayay, but that doesn't give them the right to do that. But that's what they did. They chased him out of the house, these other children. Vayomru, and they said, verse 2, lo, sinkal beveis avinu. He said, you don't belong in our house. Kigen bishach, you got another mother. We didn't know about her. We don't want you to inherit with us. So that's the beginning of Yiftach's life. He has to deal with being thrown out of his own house. Now, he was a strong man. He didn't fight against his brothers. It's very interesting. Like, he wouldn't, you know, he sometimes people that have had difficult things in life, they can really shine because they don't allow their circumstances to destroy them. You know, here he was rejected by his family, and so let's see what happens. And he runs away. He has to leave because of his brothers. And what does he do? Yeshuv ve'eretz tov, and he goes to another place called Tov. Now it's very interesting. There is a place called Tov, but Tov usually means good. So some people say that any place is good as long as there's no fighting there. In other words, if you're in a place where there people are fighting with you, and you can go somewhere where they won't fight with you, then it's a good place, because fighting is not a good thing. That was last week's parsha, that we don't believe in fighting. A person should want to live peacefully, and if there's fighting and arguments, and a person should go and separate from that and live. Any place he goes to will be good if he has peace. It's one of those things that we've often talked about. They have a very funny commercial on the, you know, where a person talks about how they feel so good, and they, you know, person complaining, oh, I feel so good, I feel so, I forgot what it was, I don't listen to it that well, but when our health isn't well, we complain. And we should really thank Hashem when we feel good. When we wake up in the morning and we're able to walk, we're able to breathe, we're able to do whatever, we're able to eat, whatever, we should thank Hashem. But also, if things are peaceful, we should thank Hashem. When a person has problems, chas v'shalom, it shouldn't ever happen. If a person has, you know, sometimes in a home there's not harmony, sometimes with the children there's not harmony, sometimes with the neighbors, it's awful. It's like I think what David HaMelech had to go through with his children rebelling, his neighbors rebelling, other people were jealous, there was intrigue. But if a person doesn't have that, and they have peace, you know, they get along with their neighbors, they get along with their relatives, they don't fight with people, they should be so thankful. Because there's no bigger blessing in life than shalom, than peace. And sometimes we take it for granted until we don't have it. All it takes is one situation which is uncomfortable, and then you realize that all these years you never had to worry about those kinds of things. So that's the if you can live in a place where there's no fighting, that's Eretz Tov. The Yislachtu El, I think I told you that I had a few shuls in my prior life. And one of the shuls, I was warned that it was a rabbi eating shul that they had gone through. So I said, you know, that must have been the rabbi's fault. Maybe they didn't know how to get along with people. All I want to do is teach Torah and, you know, bring people to Judaism. No one's going to fight with me. No one's going to, I have no agenda. I'm not political. I just want to go there and try to, and so sure enough, I was young and foolish and I took this position. And it was a really rough shul, and I had people that were fighting with me, and it wasn't even about me. It was just sometimes in Marv there'd be fist fights in the shul. People would come in drinking. It was the Wild West. It was really not with me, but so if you have, I just couldn't imagine that it existed. You know, it's a shul. People come. What? How could you have fighting in a shul? I could tell you how. There were people in the shul who didn't like each other, and it was a small area, and that was the only place to go, and it was sometimes a very unpleasant kind of place to be. So if you have a place and it's pleasant and you don't have, so be so thankful, you know, that you don't know from these things. And, you know, you see what goes on in the outside world and it's not going on in our world. Thank Baruch Hashem. You know, that's the biggest blessing is to be to have peace. And sometimes you just have to recognize that. So he went to a place that was good. Or that was the name of the place. V'yislachtu al Yiftach. Now, Yiftach, because he himself was a down and outer, since he didn't, he had a hard life. So people, went to him who also were empty or didn't have a place to go. In Hebrew, the word reik, is not a compliment when you call somebody empty. So many people say that he was a little bit of a tough kind of person coming from where he was. And people that hang around with him were also tough kind of people. But Yetzi'ima, and they went with him. In every neighborhood, in every place, there are people that are needed to defend Jews and to be security guards and to be policemen. You need a certain kind of person that likes to do that job. Sometimes the people that do that are not the softest kind of people. It's like military kind of people. You have to know some people, they're good. You know, it's good for them to go and let them use their, instead of joining a gang, let them join the military and fight the bad people. You know, that's Yiftach had a lot of people with him who were like toughs, who were like empty people. They weren't necessarily righteous people, but he somehow, was the leader of these people. And he showed that he was a person who could be a leader, even of the toughs, of those kind of people. It's just interesting. Like I said, some people see this as a negative thing because a person is the company that they keep, and so the Torah describes him as having all the he calls it empty-handed men. But if a person has all the riffraff hanging around him, that's not a good sign. So it's such an interesting personality. He's not. We don't usually look at such a person as the head of the Jewish people. You know, his mother was his owner. His buddies are the mafia, and he's going to save the Jewish people, right? But it's just a lesson in life. Like, you know, you could find good in all kinds of. He was a sincere good person. We shouldn't take it, but it just his background. That this is his introduction. You know, like I said, meet his mother and meet his buddies. Then we're going to see. How he's going to be the one who's going to save the Jewish people. On the other hand, we need a very tough person who's going to, you know, is going to be the leader, is going to do the job that he needs to do. He needs to have that strength to go and wage war. So let's see. And it was in the days, verse 4, Yochum b'nei Amoni Yisrael, and the Ammonites waged war with the Jewish people. Verse 5, he kashenuchum with an am in Yisrael. And it was, as they were waging war, v'yelchu zikne gila l'kachas es yiftach meretz tov. We needed somebody who could lead us in battle. So the elders of that area came to Yiftach. They went to find him. They remember him that he was a leader. And they remember him that he was a very strong and capable person. And so they went to where he was, to bring him back and to see if he would lead the people in battle. For Yamal Yiftach, and they said to Yiftach, they said, Lecha, come. And now, what were they offering him? Now, you have to understand this. They allowed him to be run out of town. They allowed his brothers to kick him away. They allowed his brothers to bully him. And now, when the going gets rough, now they need his help. That's kind of the picture. So they said, come, and they said, but Yisraelana Lakatsim, and you know what? We'll make you a leader. We'll appoint you the general. Vinilchum b'nei Amon, and you could fight and lead the way. Yiftach is very smart. But Yamar Yiftach l'ziknei Gilad, halatim senesim osi. He said, what's going on here? You guys hated me. V'tekeshuni, and you sent me away from my father's house. Umadua basam elai ata. Now when you need me, you come to me? Kasher tzarlacham, when you're in trouble? It's a rebuke. It's a very strong rebuke that he gives them. You know, that I grew up there and I was distressed and I was thrown out of my house. And you didn't care for me. And now when you need me, then all of a sudden you want me? Like that's the, v'yomer zik negila Yiftach. So they said to Yiftach, l'chein ata shavnei lecha. They said, well, now we're making amends for that. We're coming back to you. V'alachti imanu, and we're asking you to come with us. V'nechav b'nei amun, isil on the rosh. So what do? They raise the ante. So you have to know when people talk, what is it that they want? They understood that Yiftach was playing hard to get. He said, you know, we'll make you a general. That didn't do it. So they said, you know what, Yiftach, we'll make you the leader. We'll make you the head. You see, they changed the words in Hebrew before. In verse 6, when they said, become our chief. Now this time they return and they say, we'll make you the head, the rosh. That's better than a chief. So they figured, all right, Yiftach, they had to offer him more to come back because he didn't want the job. L'kol yoshve gilad, and you'll be the head of everybody. V'yom Yiftach ozik negilad, imeshivin atem osi l'lachim ne'amon. He said, if you have me lead the Jewish people. So we shouldn't think that Gilad was just a street tough and just a bad person. Look how he phrases this. He says, v'nosen Hashem osam. He said that if we win this battle, it's not going to be because of me. It's not going to be because of the strength of our warriors. It's because Hashem will give them to us. If Hashem favors this whole plan, then, in other words, Be'ezras Hashem, with the help of Hashem, that's how it will be. It's really a beautiful thing when you think about it. You know, here they're coming to him and they want a military person and and he's saying, you know, if Hashem wants this to happen, he's the religious one over here. And so it's just interesting. Verse 10, V'yomer zik negilad el Yiftach. They said, yeah, Hashem, yeah. Shomeyev, Hashem should hear. And he said, we're going to keep our part of the deal. Verse 11, Yiftach was worried that maybe when they didn't need him anymore, they would kick him out again. And so he wanted a promise. V'yeh Yiftach, so Yiftach goes, im zik negil, v'sima am oso aleihem l'rosh. And they kept a part of the deal. They made him the head. L'katzen v'edaber Yiftach, that's called Dvar l'fnei Hashem b'mitzpah. So before the battle, Yiftach goes to Mitzpah. Mitzpah, we know from Shmuel, was in Mitzpah. Was one of the places where they brought offerings. Was one where the tabernacle was. And it says he spoke. Really, when you speak, it means he davened. before a person goes out to war, before they go out to battle, before a leader takes a position, they daven for success. That's the most important thing. So Yiftah goes first, and he davens. Very pious person. Yishlak Yiftah Malachim. Now, what's the first thing you do before you go to war? You try not to go to war. You try to make peace. You try to see if war is absolutely necessary. That's the Jewish way. So Yiftah says he sends peace messengers. He tries to see. He says to them, what do we have between me and you? We have no reason to fight. Why are you coming to fight against us? Like, what's the deal here? Why should, why are you coming to attack us? He says, before you go to war, you have to make sure that it's necessary. Verse 13, so the king of Ammon says to his messengers. Sounds like the Middle East, because they come up with these things that are unbelievable. He says, well, 300 years ago you took our land, right? He said, you took our land 300 years ago when you left Egypt. He says, no problem. Just give us back all your land. Just get off all our land and we'll have no problems with you. Sounds like exactly what they say today, right? And everything will be wonderful. There'll be peace. All you got to do is give up Eretz Yisrael. So that was their message that they sent. But Yosef od Yiftah v'Yishah, so Yiftah sends other messengers and to the king, El Malik ben Yaman, v'yomer lo ko amar Yiftah, lo lochak. He answers them. It's very interesting. I don't know why he wants to answer them. He wants to make sure that they understood that their claim was not justified. That if you're coming to war and people are going to be killed, you should understand it's your own fault, that this is not a justified war. Lo lochak Yisrael seretz Moav. He said the Jewish people would not have taken the land of Moab, but there's been Ammon. The Ammonites were actually distant cousins of ours. They were descended from Lot. And so the Jewish people never took your land. We went to the Midbar ad Yamsuf till the Yamsuf of Yavu Kadesha. Now, by the way, he's hinting that Hashem goes together with us. You know, we went through the Yamsuf. He said, we sent messengers El Melech Edom Lamor. We said to the king of Edom, Evernah, please let us go through your land and we won't harm you. We have no reason to take your land. And the king of Edom didn't listen. Vigama Melech Moab, and we sent the same thing to the king of Moab, Shalach Veloav, he didn't listen. But Yeshu Yisrael B'Kaddish, and we were in the area called Kaddish, verse 18. V'yek B'Midbar, so they wouldn't let us through, so we went around them. But Yasev Eretz Edom, since they wouldn't let us cross through their land to go to Eretz Yisrael, and this was a big deal. I mean, when you have women and children of flocks, to have to go the long way. You know, to take extra, you know, to go around them. Eseretz Moab, Yavu Mizrach Shemin, we went the other way, through the land of Yachma Evra Yar Arnon, Velobo Gvul Moab. We did not attack Moab, Ki Arnon Gvul Moab. That was a territory of Moab. Verse 19, V'yishu Kitzram Malachim El Sichon. And so we repeated this, and we sent messengers to Sichon, the king of the Amori Melech Heshbon, V'yom Lo Yisrael, never know about it, please let us go through your land. Now, by the way, this is the connection to the Parsha. This is what's happening in this week's Parsha, that they asked permission to go through the land. They didn't trust us. They didn't want to let us go through their land. But Yosef, not only didn't they let us go through their land, they attacked us. Yosef Sichon es kolamo. Sichon gathered all of his people together, and he made a war, and Yehatza v'yachem Yisrael. And what happened then? Verse 21, V'yiten Hashem es Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel, Hashem, he's our God. He looks out on our behalf. We serve him. As Sichon, he gave us the territory of Sichon es kol amo b'yad Yisrael, v'yachem v'yishu Yisrael es kol eretz amur yoshev eretz ahi. See, what happened is that these lands were conquered by these previous kings. And we didn't, the king that attacked us, when somebody attacks you, you're entitled to keep when you defeat them in battle, you're entitled to keep their lands because they attacked you. You didn't attack them. And so Sichon, who had conquered these lands 300 years ago, we won those battles fair and square, and we were entitled to those lands. We Yershu as Kol Gvul Amori, and we got the lands of Onur from Arnon and Yavag min Amidbar. We turned to 1189 Ad Yarden. So it's not that we fought a battle and took away your land. These lands were long ago taken from other people. It's almost like, you know, the Palestinians, they never had a land, and the land was owned by Turkey. And Turkey and Turkey was given to the British, and the British mandate was given by the U.S. You know, I could say, you could talk about all these things, but you're not justified in demanding, you know, 300 years later that somehow we're on your land. Verse 22, Yivata Elokei Yisrael Ho'risheso Mori Pnei Amo Yisrael. And Hashem, our God, gave us this land. Hashem decided, Hashem, who's the master of the world, decides who belongs anywhere. 24, Elohis Asher Yosha Kimash Elokecha. Now, our God gave us this land, and your God is called Kimosh. That's the name of the idol. Oh, so Tirosh, so why your idol didn't give you any land, and Ves Kol Asher Horish Hashem Elokeinu Ifneinu, our God gave us these lands and decided that we were entitled to them. Those are the lands that we got. 25, Ata HaTov Tov Ata Mibalach Ben Tzippor. Are you any better than Balak, the son of Tzippor, the king of Moab? Harav Ra, who also wanted to fight with the Jewish people, Imnocham Nocham Bam. Did he ever fight them? He knew better than that. Verse 26. B'shevus Yisrael b'cheshrim, when we were living in the territory of Cheshrim, v'nosel, ba'ar v'nosel. It's a long diplomatic message here, going through the history. Now, if you had a problem, why didn't you speak up 300 years ago? You're a little late. You know, it's a very strange thing to claim that this is the reason for having to do battle now. This about ancient history. That's a reason that you're coming to fight us. Verse 27. Vanochi locha tasiloch. I haven't done anything to you. Va'ata ose iti ra. And now you're fighting against us. You're the evil one. This is a just war. Be yishput Hashem. Hashem will judge you, you know, for you're just attacking us for no reason. Hashofet yom bein b'nei Yisrael bein b'nei Amon. When you fight an unjustified war, then the results are not going to be what you expect. So that's what was the message that Yiftach sent to the sons of Amon. And again, Yiftach had been wronged in his life. He had a sense, you know, he hung around with tough guys, but he. They do have a certain code of logic of being right and being wrong. And, he laid out to him that you have no justification for the attacking the Jewish people. So let's see what happens. As things happen in the Middle East, they didn't listen. He didn't listen. He didn't, what can you do? So, Yiftach, as we said, at davened, he was sure that justice was on his side, that righteousness was on his side. Verse 29, Vati al Yiftach Ruach Hashem. And Yiftach, as in all Jewish battles, that when Hashem is on our side, we win the battles. That's really what it boils down to. That's our secret weapon. It's not the bomb. It's not the secret weapon is that we need Hashem on our side. We need to, so the spirit of Hashem came on Yiftach. The Yavres Gilad Vesmanasha, and he passed through the areas of the Jewish people. Now, in those days, there was not a draft. You couldn't force people to come fight. But when a person has Hashem on his side, they joined in with him. Yavres Mitzpah Gilad Abba B'nei Amon. And from there, he went out to do battle with the sons of Amon. Now, we have a rule that in a time of danger, a person should try to find a merit for themselves, and they also should think about what they will do if Hashem helps them. In other words, let's say a person has an operation, and it's a serious operation, so a person should say, you know, if the operation is successful, then I will do this for you, Hashem. I will give to charity, I will study some more, I will do good deeds, it's a proper thing in a time of danger to take a to make a promise, to make a vow. So it's something that we in a certain way, it's like it's to make a resolution, to do something good, to promise. Well, we ask Hashem for a lot of things, and so the question is, well, what will we do? Some people do this on they talk about a kol nidre, what do they call it, where they give a charity, a kol nidre appeal. And the idea is that we're asking Hashem to give us a good year. So therefore, if you want a good year, so what are you going to do for your community? What are you going to do for your shul? That's really the idea of the appeal, that we're facing a time of judgment. So we have to, you know, really push ourselves to give. And so that's why a lot of shuls will, that's where the concept of having an appeal. But it's not just an appeal for money. It's an appeal for what are you going to do next year? If Hashem gives you another year like you're asking and it gives you a good year, a healthy year, so what are you going to do with it? So it's proper to make a promise. So what do? We start off with Kol Nidre because what do we do about last year's promises? last year we said we'd be better. If only Hashem gives us another year, if only we get what we want. So then we made all those promises. And then what happened? Then we went back to business as usual. And so we got to be careful when we make our commitments. And we're going to see here, Yisro was very serious about his commitment. He was a farmer, a person who worked the land, and their most expensive possessions were their animals. They had milk cows, and they had cows that plowed things. And if they brought an offering, they would generally like to give the offering would be a baby cow or a young cow or a young sheep, but to give their prized cow, to give their most valuable, you know, the one that was the strongest or was the pride of their herd, people would be very reluctant to give their best cow or their best animal as an offering. So what Yiftach wanted to propose was, Hashem, if somehow we come out of this war in peace, I'm going to give you that best cow. I don't care which one it is. I don't care which one. I'm going to give it. Without question, I'm going to not hold back, and I'm going to give the best thing that I have to you, Hashem. That's what he says. Whatever. If I win the lottery, they document, by the way, there are a lot of people that always said if they win the lottery, they're going to do X, Y. Very few of them actually do what they, before they won, they said, oh, they're going to give to charity, they're going to help this one. Once they win, they automatically change. They sing a different tune. It's so interesting. So once a person can do is that they write down their commitment. You know, if this happens, this is what I'm going to do. So Yiftach took a vow. He took a promise. And this is a serious thing. One of the things we do today is we say Beli Neder. We try not to, so we don't want to be stuck. Because sometimes you make a promise and it's very hard to keep that promise. And we don't want the sin of not keeping a promise. So we say we're really going to try very hard to do it, but Beli Neder, I don't want to make a full promise that if I, for some reason, I can't do it, it'll be a terrible sin because I promise and I don't keep my word. So we say Beli Neder. Now, one mistake that people make, it has to do with the English language, that we think that it's only a promise if you say, I promise, or you swear. But when you just give your word, that doesn't have to mean anything. Because in our society, everybody lies. It's just called doing business. It's called being a salesperson. Oh, yes, we have any problems, just come back to me. We'll take care of it. And, this is the, you know, this is the absolute best. We're the best, the world's best, the best in the universe, the best in the world, the best, people say all kinds of things, but it's okay because they're not swearing. They're not, but in Judaism, there's really, you don't have to say the word, I swear. If you say something, it's expected to be true. You don't have to, even if you don't say, I promise, if you said to somebody, I'm going to do this, you're supposed to do what your word is. That's a unique thing. People don't realize that if you say, give your word, you're supposed to do what you say. Like, we praise people when they keep their word because not everybody does it, apparently. But that was always our, and so actually, many times, even if you just say you're supposed to do something, you need to do it, even though you didn't say, I promise. They have another trick, which I don't know why they say they cross their fingers. I don't know what it has to do with the cross or Yashka, but somehow that means they're allowed to lie. I have my fingers crossed, you know, they don't have to tell the truth because they, under the table, their fingers were crossed. So that, I remember that. We used to play game, you know, they would swear to, but in Judaism, if you say something, you're supposed to do what you say. And so sometimes you try to say, I will try. That's fine. Or you say, Beli Neder, which means that's just being honest, that I'm aware that I may not be able to do it. So I'm allowing myself an out. But that's really better than saying something and not doing. you know, we're supposed to do what we say. So Yitzchak had that. He understood that. And he knew that when he came back to war, if it was his prize cow that came out to see him, he wouldn't want to donate. Not this one. No, no. Not my favorite one. Not the one that gives milk and the one that pulls the plow and not the, maybe it's one that's the family pet. He said, no, no. So he didn't want to, he realized that he was going to give whatever one came out no matter what. So that's what he said. Vifinetter Lashem, and he said, "Im nasan titena espnei yamam biyadi." If Hashem will give them into my hand, then v'haya hayotze Hashem yotze midalsa besi. Whatever comes out to my house, the first one that greets me when I come back, b'shuvi b'shalom from bnei yamon v'haya Lashem. That one I'm going to give to Hashem, v'alosia ola, and I will bring it as an offering. We see he gets set up. Poor Yiftach. This guy has a hard life. We're going to see. He makes a mistake because he was not precise in his wording, as we're going to see. Vayavar Yiftach es bnei Amon, and it's so funny, it almost eclipses the rest of it, so we all want to know what happens when he comes home. We know what happens. So, but he wins the battle. Vayavar Yiftach el bnei Amon, he goes, lelochim bom, vayitnem Hashem biyado, and Hashem gives him victory. Vayakim, and he defeats them from Orer ad Bayacha, Menis Eshim Lir, Vadbo Ocha Kramim, Maka Gedolim Ma'od. And he defeats them. And, so Haftorah really finishes before, because if we know the rest of the story, that's all we'll talk about is the rest. I'll tell you what happens. But he defeats them, and he defeats them not just, sometimes you win a battle, like what's happened in Gaza, and you have to fight the same war three times because you don't win a decisive victory. But over here it says Maka Gedola Ma'od. Maka like Makos, you know. He hits them a very big defeat. Vayiknu, and all of a sudden they were humbled. They had to eat humble pie, and Ibn Yamun, and we didn't have to. So this Yiftach wins a great victory, and again, it's such a lesson. He does all the right things. He davens to Hashem. He gives Hashem the credit. He tries to make peace. He lays out the case why we're justified in doing this. He realizes that it's a time of danger, and he promises that if things go well, then he will, do the right things. He will give to Hashem. He will bring the offering. So that's the story of Yiftach. The Jewish people, at that time, because they themselves were not such a worthy people, their leader wasn't the most worthy of people. Again, he did the right things, and he was the leader, but we've had leaders that didn't necessarily hang around with the riffraff, who were a little more knowledgeable, who didn't make mistakes in what they did. But he was a great leader. So what happened? Everybody knows the story. Instead of when he came to his farm, so his daughter, who was his favorite daughter, I don't know if he had any other daughter, but apparently maybe she was the only daughter, but she was so proud of her father that she didn't sleep in the house. She moved outside to be the first one to greet him. She was so excited that what he had done and so proud of him. So she went. In those days, you usually had the property in the middle, and then you had a big, you know, fenced in area where all the animals. So she was like waiting outside to be the first one to greet her father when he came home. So she like spots him coming, and she's, "Daddy, daddy." And, oh no. Because he said, "The first one I see, I'm going to offer as an offering." So, now what do you do? So he was in big trouble, Yiftach. So a very interesting thing happened. Now, we have rules, by the way, that, first of all, you're not allowed to do human sacrifice. That's first. I mean, that's not our thing. That's, you know, that goes all the way back to Avraham, that we know, and Hashem doesn't ask that from us. But second of all, when a person makes a vow or a promise and they can't keep it, so we have a mechanism in the Torah for nullifying vows. The person can go to a court, and he can beseech the court and explain the circumstances why they're unable to keep their vow. And under certain circumstances, the court can nullify the vow. That's called the Torah Sanhedrin. Sometimes you don't have to be a full court. You can be a rabbi and he can get two others. And this happens actually relatively often. Sometimes a person has a commitment that they made and they can't keep it anymore. And you can ask you don't even have to be there. You can ask the rabbi. You can give him the detail. He can petition the court to see if they can find justification to nullify the vow. So in theory, if he had gone to the rabbi, asked him to nullify, he said, I can't offer my daughter. It could have been taken care of. But he had a chip on his shoulder because he didn't want to go to the rabbi. He felt the rabbi should come to him. I'm the one that just won the battle. And meanwhile, his daughter has to suffer. But believe it or not, there have been many points in history that the right things didn't happen because a person said, I'm not going to go to him. He should come to me. The Gemara says an interesting thing. It says that doctors... sometimes even good doctors make a mistake because they're afraid to ask a colleague for advice because there's a certain thing like, what do you mean? You don't know yourself? You have to ask me? But if you ask someone else, you may find a way to save the person's life. And a person should be willing to not worry about protocol if they can go and to the other person and they can help them. So eat humble pie, go to that person and ask for help. But apparently there was a power struggle. Now, what happened was Hashem really was mad at both sides. He was mad at Yiftach and he was mad. The leader at that time was Pinchas. Pinchas should have gone to Yiftach and said, can I help you with something? I heard you got a tough situation. And Yiftach should have gone to Pinchas. I got this rough situation. But each one said, well, I don't need them. They need me. He should come to me. And so neither one went to each other. There's a debate about what happened. Did he actually offer his own? We don't know. It doesn't tell us that he did. There's another view that he dedicated her to Hashem. He dedicated her to Hashem. Now, she didn't have to go along with it, but she accepted her father's wishes. And so according to many, she became she lived out on the wild all alone. And she just davened all day long and prayed and was kind of like a person in solitude. And so she was like dedicated to Hashem. That was kind of the life that she led. But it was a tragedy. It was a tragedy that it wasn't done properly. The Haftorah finishes before we get to that, isn't it? Because that's not the message. The message was he won the battle. He did the right things. He promised to give. There's always other details that you have to know. But the message comes through as he was a leader and that there's so many messages here, how people aren't supposed to mistreat others and everybody's important and don't give up on people and how you should try to be peaceful and it's better to live somewhere else if people are going to fight over it. There's certain people, you don't hear about them because usually the people that don't want to fight, they just move away. They just quietly say, I don't want to fight, and they give in and they don't fight over it and they let some other people, have it, let other people fight. But it's not worth making trouble for. That's the quality of Yiftach.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.